Our last case is 14-1738, Toledo Bar Association versus Robert Paul DeMarco. For the respondent, Mr. Alkire.
Madam Chief Justice, Justices of the Court, Mr. Bonfiglio, Mr. Grood, may it please the Court. Richard Alkire is my name. I represent the respondent, Bob DeMarco, in this discipline matter. Bob had been practicing law since 1969. He began in the fabled John T. Corrigan Prosecutor's Office in Cuyahoga County as an assistant county prosecutor. For his entire career, until 2012, he had never faced an allegation of disciplinary rule violations. But alas, in 2012, Bob made some poor choices, and Bob lied. But as a good lawyer does, and as an ethical lawyer does, he admitted it. He never argued about it. So what brings us here in a matter where there is a one-time aberration in the long-standing career of a good, ethical, hardworking lawyer is that the panel, when it heard this case, failed to advise the board of all of the pertinent facts that would assist the board in arriving at its function to weigh and balance aggravating and mitigating circumstances to arrive at an appropriate sanction recommendation. And it also erroneously made conclusions about facts which had not been proven by clear and convincing evidence or proven at all. And this case, as I've mentioned before to this court, illustrates kind of the problem that exists in the two-part process of bringing a case to this court from the Board of Commissioners. And as Justice Lanziger well knows and understands, when that board receives panel reports, it doesn't receive the record, it doesn't receive the exhibits, it receives panel reports. And when the panel chair stands up at the bi-monthly board meeting to present the panel report, he or she brings to the attention in a two-part presentation the findings of fact and conclusions of law that were reached by the panel, generally unanimously, rarely with a dissent. And then once the chair of the board achieves a vote on that, a next motion is made in connection with the aggravating, mitigating circumstances and the recommended sanction. So when you look at a panel report, you see one paragraph that represents what the board did, and it's at the end. Everything before that last paragraph is what the panel chair wrote with the agreement of the panel members. Here, this case from the get-go, and I didn't reserve it, but I'd like to reserve 3 minutes, please, even though it's right on the top of my outline and I never read it. Here, from the get-go, this was a case about the appropriate sanction, because Bob DeMarco cooperated fully with the investigation by the Toledo Bar Association. His response letter, drafted by me, admitted what the grievance Judge Duhart and the two lawyers, Tushman and Davis, brought to the attention of the Toledo Bar. And he went ahead and he met with the investigator for the Toledo Bar to discuss that letter, and I was present. And he went a step further, which is not common among all grievance committees in the state of Ohio, and there's about 34 of them. He went before the entire grievance committee voluntarily and subjected himself to the cross-examination of all the members of the grievance committee about what he did and that he admitted to doing. And I put him on direct as well after that cross-examination and brought to their attention mitigating factors. And that grievance committee recommended a 6-month all-stage suspension. And that's how the complaint was filed. And that's why there
counsel,
was...
Counsel, yes, Your Honor. The bottom line here is your client lied to a court.
No correct? Question about that, Your Honor.
All right. And you say there's mitigating factors that would preclude the 1 year out that is recommended by the board.
Absolutely, Your Honor.
And that's because your client was wise enough to hire you and get you on the case once he was charged?
Well, I had nothing to do with his unblemished career, I'll tell you.
Okay.
So that occurred before he hired me.
All right. Okay, but we have thousands of lawyers that go through unblemished careers and don't slip up and lie to a court.
And many of whom do things even worse and are given state suspensions. I refer you to Don Hannai's case in Youngstown years ago, for one example. But I don't mean to cut you off. Are you done?
Well, I'm wondering, you know, I don't really take much stock in an unblemished career, and then the one blemish, if you want to call it a blemish, is quite a whopper. And lying to the court, and certainly the circumstances of lying to the, you know, having read the report on this and how vehemently he was defending what he said and to make it believable, I find that difficult.
He did what he did, Your Honor. There's no question about it. And what the panel didn't bring up, and what's in my brief, that's because it's not in the panel report but comes from the record, are other mitigating factors that we know now are part of the rules rather than a procedural rule that are recommended to use to weigh and balance. And as you've said time and time again, no matter how horrendous the disciplinary rule violation was, we're here not to punish the offender, we're here to protect the public. There's no evidence in this record that the public or the judiciary or anyone else needs to be protected from Bob DeMarco. And in fact, the evidence that was not recounted by the panel says otherwise. What evidence is that? It's not only the unblemished career, by any stretch of the imagination. It's not only his cooperation in the disciplinary procedure, which, yes, did happen after he was represented by me. Fortunate for me, because he's a good man, and I enjoyed getting to know him. But what he did do is he showed character evidence that also contained evidence of his sincere remorse. And none of that was recounted in the panel report. In fact, it was mischaracterized. He said there were letters from the bench and bar. Well, there were more than letters from the bench and bar. There was also live testimony from members of the public, two members of the public, and his wife. And in among the letters from some of the judges, including Judge Picorni, talked about his sincere remorse. And the letter he had written immediately after this hearing to Judge Duhart, which wasn't even mentioned. And we talk about remorse, and I'll never forget standing here arguing on behalf of Judge Gall, a question you, Chief Justice, asked me about, did Judge Gall have any remorse for what he did? And I remember Justice Pfeiffer mentioning, well, gee, that's not in the rules anyway. Well, remorse never happens before the bad act, ever. It only happens after. And the issue is, does he get it or she? That's what remorse is. Is it sincere? We put all kinds of evidence on the record about his remorse and its sincerity. His wife testified about it. A long-standing client he had represented since the early 90s and took all the way to this court talked about it. And every single letter that was written and not referred to specifically, not even the number in the panel report, talked about how he made it clear that What he did was absolutely wrong. He even said in his apology to Judge Duhart the day after this happened, in November of 2012, my conduct was egregious. He said that.
And so in your view, in light of all those factors, what do you think the sanction should be?
I have no issue, Justice French, with a one-year suspension. It ought to be stayed.
The entire suspension?
This man is 70 years old.
The entire suspension should be changed?
The entire suspension stayed, Justice French.
The Bar Association, though, had recommended 6 months. Is that what you're saying?
The Bar Association initially, when we filed our consent to discipline, agreed that it should be 6 months, all stayed. Then at the hearing, at the conclusion of the hearing, and Mr. Bonfiglio and I talked about this, and we felt this court would look at this act and think a year was more appropriate. But that's not where the analysis stops on the sanction. Mr. Bonfiglio and I thought a year all stayed. And that's what was recommended by Relator to the panel at the conclusion of the hearing. It's only in their brief where they have gone along with what the panel did, which recommended 1 year, 6 months stayed. And now the board said 1 year all stayed. I mean, 1 year, no time stayed. And I believe because of these significant mitigating circumstances, which I don't think character and reference, character and letters from judges and lawyers and members of the public should be taken lightly. I didn't take them lightly when I was on the board.
Do we have any cases that would allow for a completely stayed suspension when there's outright lying to the court?
There haven't been lying to the court cases. The problem is we are without lying to the court cases. I've cited to you all in
That's
my
That's not a
brief-
problem.
I'm sorry?
That's not a problem not to have lying to the court cases.
What I'm saying, Justice, is, well, not every lie is caught. This lie was caught. What I did cite to this court were outright dishonesty cases, cases involving lying to recorders, misstatements, various circumstances of lying. George Forbes' case, where he had dishonest behavior and took money and was convicted of a crime, was all stayed. I've cited those cases to this court and those circumstances. And among all those cases that I've cited to this court, certainly there is plenty of precedent where this court has looked at equally bad acts and stayed the suspensions. That's what I'm asking on behalf of this man who from the get-go admitted what he did, was embarrassed about it, is chagrined about it, has had a great career, has been an honest man, and demonstrated sincere remorse that wasn't even mentioned. Now, what the panel report did do was get rid of two stipulated mitigating factors that it felt didn't apply, timely rectifying the misconduct, and the other one which escapes me at the moment, but selfish, that it was selfish. And the facts about selfishness are very important here, too.
So you're into your rebuttal time.
And I will, at this point, shut up and sit down. And I certainly appreciate your attention thus far.
Thank you. Mr. Bonfiglio?
Good morning, and thank you, Chief Justice. May it please the court, my name is Mike Bonfiglio. I'm here on behalf of the Relator, the Toledo Bar Association. If the respondent had been as candid and as forthcoming as Mr. Alkire represents, we would not be here urging you to adopt the one-year suspension. It's correct. Initially, the Bar Association agreed to a six-month all-state suspension, later revised to 12 months in an attempt to have a discipline by consent.
Mr. Bonfiglio, Mr. DeMarco appeared before the full Bar Association. After he appeared, what was the recommendation?
6 to 12 month state suspension. Okay. And the reason, Justice Lanziger, the reason we've changed is Mr. DeMarco was less than candid during his panel hearing testimony on at least three issues. He was very candid on his lack of remorse.
Well, the lack of remorse, though, if you read the portion that was in the report here, was talking about he wasn't remorseful because he didn't think he had misled. And you heard your counsel on the other side say that it's not until after someone is caught or that they become remorseful when they realize that there's something wrong.
Right. Correct. And he realized there was something wrong the day he drove back from that pretrial in March, and he called Mr. Harper and he said, I told him I didn't have the disc, I'm going to give it back to you, words to that effect. So he knew right then and there he did something wrong, and he chose not to do anything about it. Furthermore, he chose to compound the problem by lying later on in November. Also at the panel hearing, he stated he was now lying to protect his expert. That never came out in the meeting with our investigator, in the testimony before our show cause committee, in letters drafted by counsel that tried to explain what he did. There was never any mention of this notion of trying to protect Mr. Harper, the same guy he let hang out to dry at a contempt hearing. He very well could have been found in contempt, but he fortuitously saved that tape, that phone call. Had he not saved that tape, the man he was protecting may have been found in contempt or worse.
What exactly was the lie to the court here, specifically?
The specific lie, there were 10 of them, as we outlined, and they all dealt with whether or not this disc that contained copied material, whether Mr. DeMarco ever saw it or whether he ever possessed it. He denied both. That's the specific lie that he reiterated over and over and over.
So this was during a discovery dispute?
Correct.
Okay. And was a client ever harmed?
The case settled. The clients were not harmed.
So all the lies related to whether he actually saw the disc or had the disc?
Correct.
A discovery disc?
That's correct. He also.
But it was a discovery disc that he shouldn't have had. Isn't that the issue here?
There's another issue. They developed a protocol. Mr. DeMarco drafted the protocol. The protocol explained that his forensic expert could copy or mirror image the...
That was Mr. Harper.
Yes, Mr. Harper could mirror image the computer of one of the defendants.
Right.
And then per the protocol, he was to submit any documents to the court for an in-camera inspection, and then the court would decide what could be given to respondent. That's what the protocol said. In violation of that protocol, Mr. DeMarco took the disc, determined there was nothing of value, and elected not to use it. And he stipulated in writing that it was a violation of the protocol. That stipulation was signed by Mr. DeMarco, it was signed by his attorney, and you can bet they went over that every paragraph before the panel hearing. At the panel hearing, he backs away from that, and he says, now, well, I thought I had permission to look at the documents, look at the disc, give it to the court after I determined what I wanted to use, and then the court could tell me what I could and couldn't use. That's so disingenuous. If he actually thought it was permissible to have the disc to begin with, why on earth would he lie initially and say, I never had it?
Now, this motion hearing, in your response, there is a transcript or lengthy information about, is it at the motion hearing and or the show cause hearing where Mr. Tushman is questioning Mr. DeMarco, correct?
Correct.
And that's when he's confronted with, did you have the disc? And he's still saying, no, didn't have the disc. This is the contempt for Mr. Harper?
For Mr. Harper, yes.
And then it's put to him that Mr. Harper was on this stand and he said that, you know, what he said about the fact that DeMarco lied. And at that point, he says, He said that? I didn't hear him say that. If he did, I would like to go outside with him. I've never lied to anybody, especially to a court.
Right.
And this is after he knows he's lied.
Right. He's threatening the man he's protecting now.
Yeah, that's
it just doesn't make any sense. And for these reasons, that's why the Bar Association has shifted our analysis as to the sanction. We no longer believe this should be a suspended term. It should be a term of 1 year suspension.
Counsel, can you just clarify for a second, when did you initially make that recommendation of the 6 to 12 month all-state suspension?
I'm sorry, Justice.
What point did you, I just want to clarify when you made that initial recommendation about the 6 to 12 months all-state. That was to the panel, but before his testimony?
It was before the panel hearing.
Before the hearing?
Before the hearing.
That's all I need, okay.
But Justice French, also at the conclusion of the hearing, I stayed with what we had briefed. I argued for a 12-month stayed suspension. But after reviewing the transcript, after reviewing the board's reasoned opinion, we can no longer stick with that.
I understand.
I think the board got it right.
Thank you for that clarification.
And Mr. Bonfiglio, I mean, as far as the statements that there had been no previous discipline, that's correct, correct?
That is correct, and the board, I would take exception with Mr. Alkire because the board and the panel did note no prior disciplinary record, cooperative attitude, and that these letters that were provided to him attested to his good character. So they did make a finding of the mitigation of good character.
What case can you cite us to that might guide our decision as to, I mean, many varied stages where the sanction has been gradually increased. 6 months stayed, 1 year stayed, 1 year six out, 1 year out.
Justice, I didn't find any case. I didn't actually look for any cases where the sanction was increased.
No, I guess my point is, does your research indicate that there's some case that we might look at that would give us guidance as to what would be an appropriate sanction?
I would give you two cases, Justice. Disciplinary Council versus Robinson, 124 Ohio State 3rd, 1528. This was in the course of a contractual dispute. The respondent, he was in a dispute with his soon-to-be ex-firm, and he took some documents out of the firm and destroyed them. Then in a deposition and in a hearing, he denied that he ever destroyed anything, that he took anything. They didn't have a tape recording. They had a surveillance camera of him taking these items out. In that case, they found a violation of 8.4C as here, but instead of a 3.3, they found a 3.4 violation. In that case, the respondent presented three character witnesses, more than two dozen character letters referencing attorneys, judges, elected officials. In that case, the panel recommended a 12-month suspension. The board recommended a 2-year suspension, and this court ordered a 12-month suspension, no stayed. That's the case I would suggest you take a look at.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Counsel, we have a minute and a half.
Very quickly. Justice O'Donnell, to your question, Ricketts, it involved a recorded mortgage to create an impression to debt and of debt and to deceive creditors, filed in the county recorder's office. Groner made a false allegation of fact in a document filed in the probate court. All of these are 6 months all stayed. Forbes, false financial disclosure statement, accepted gifts of influence. Kaler, these are all in my brief. Signed a client's name to a document, forged the secretary's name as a notary, secured funds as administrator of his client's brother's estate. No remorse, 6 months all stayed. Bernstein, created affidavit for friends to convince a sheriff not to bring charges, lied to the sheriff, both selfish and refusal to acknowledge wrongful conduct, practice over 30 years with no discipline, 6 months all stayed. Deloach, created documents to respond to relators, investigator, single case remorse, no financial advantage like here, no unfair advantage like here, 6 months all stayed. Cameron, the panel cited, and you see what the panel did with that. As it relates to Harper, when Mr. DeMarco came home from that March pretrial, he gave Harper the disc. And by the way, the protocol, Your Honor, if you read it, Exhibit A, doesn't talk about him not being allowed to look at the disc. It says documents
That wasn't a stretch. He said that at the grievance committee meeting where they came up with the 6 months all stayed. Not a stretch at all. The protocol needs to be looked at. And so what Mr. DeMarco hadn't done was reviewed it since he had written it in June of the preceding year when he went to the March pretrial and was, when Mr. Tushman kind of reacted with, well, how do you know what's on there? Then he covered himself and he lied and he admitted that. Now, he comes back, he gives Harper the disc. Harper has the disc, he tells the Harper, you're gonna have to preserve this, the court wants it. Harper calls the court. The court says, don't bother us with this, call the defense lawyer. He talks to Tushman, he wants $1,000 from Tushman. Tushman says, I'm not paying you $1,000. Then DeMarco calls him in June and he says, I want $1,000. Harper is the author of the only reason he had that hearing, which was after the case was settled. It wasn't a discovery dispute. It was after the case was settled. And it was because he wouldn't turn it over.
Thank you, counsel.
And thank you so much for your kind attention.
Counsel, we will take the matter under advisement and you'll be notified of our decision. Thank you.